Okay, in this session, we're going to be working through the first 11 chapters of Genesis. So if you've got one of the chairs that's equipped with the seatbelt, you want to strap that in. We're going to be moving pretty quickly. This teaching is entitled In the Beginning. So these are the first three words of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Now, what one believes about the first 11 chapters in the Bible is foundational to their theology. We believe that they give us a true and literal account of events, from creation to the flood to man's first attempt to build the stairway to heaven. In the short time allotted, we're going to be hitting the highlights. And we'll all do well to review these things in our Bibles on our own time. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1. In the beginning, God. God is eternal. And it is obvious that he exists. Solomon writes that the Lord has put eternity into every human heart. The Bible makes no attempt to prove his existence. Rather, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In the beginning, God created. He created out of nothing. The problem with humanistic and scientific theories is that they do not account for a first cause. There are some who will say, well, there was a big mass of matter, and then there was a big bang where everything went bang, and the matter went, you know, all over the place, and poof, this was created in that. But even if we were to believe this, that there was a mass of matter to undergo a big bang, who was it then that created that matter? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the three heavens, the dwelling place of God, the universe, and the earth's atmosphere. Three heavens and one earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here we have the Father. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So there we find, in the first two verses of our Bibles, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And then we go over to the book of John. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So here in the beginning, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And then from Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, through Genesis chapter 2, in verse 2, we have the first 7 days, the 6 days of creation, and the seventh day of rest. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 5 reads this way. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So here we have the record of the literal 24-hour days of creation. And how do we know this? First of all, the Hebrew word for day is yom, three letters, Y-O-M. And every time that word yom is preceded by an ordinal number, first, second, third, and so forth, it always refers to a literal 24-hour period, a literal 24-hour day. Secondly, these days are reflective of Hebrew days. They have an evening and they have a morning. And third, the seventh day provides the basis for the fourth commandment to keep the Sabbath day. So if these were not literal 24-hour days, then that would render the command to keep the Sabbath day ridiculous. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 reads this way. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So man was uniquely created in the image of God, with two and only two genders, male and female. Also on the sixth day, God created the living creature. Among these, the dinosaur. So we can surmise from Scripture that the dinosaur cohabited among men for a time. And this is why we have reference to these beasts in the book of Job. Genesis chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is the divine institution of one man, one woman marriage. And I'd advise you, if you're not married, not to quote verse 23 as I did at the altar with my wife, and everybody looked at me strange. I said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 through 6 reads this way. And he, that is Jesus, answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." So this perfect ideal that God set forth in the garden was validated by Jesus Christ himself. So anybody who has a problem with the institution of one man, one woman marriage can take it up not only with the Father, but also with the Son. So, Adam and Eve lived for a time in their happy estate without sin. And then there was the fall. We know this theologically as original sin. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, we read this. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." So, man and woman fell. But after the fall, it did not take God long to set forth provision. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Genesis chapter 4 and 5, we have the family of Adam. We all know the story of Cain and Abel, how rebellious Cain killed righteous Abel. And then the seed son was appointed. His name was Seth. And through his descendants, a man named Noah was born. Now, if you add up all of the ages of the members of Adam's family, and you use the Exodus date fixed by the life of Jacob and Solomon, not accounting for overlaps of years or omitted generations, you get 4113 as the year of Adam's creation. Usher came up with 4004 BC using various factors. But suffice it to say, the Word of God only allows for 6100 years or so since the creation. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bore children to them. Those are the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These sons of God were in the Hebrew, B'nai HaElohim. This is a word that elsewhere in Scripture is only used of evil angels. And these evil angels sought to corrupt the human race and thereby nullify God's promise of a Messiah Savior. Now we know that the holy angels do not marry, but evil angels willfully violate God's order and command. Peter's commentary on this passage is this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And notice God's patience. He gave the people of that day 120 years to repent, and his grace. Christians find the ark of safety today in Christ. And they cannot be removed, for the Lord has shut us into the kingdom. Praise God. Genesis chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days in 40 nights. And then in verse 24, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Here we have the global cataclysm, a global flood and a global upheaval of the depths of the earth. And this answers a lot of questions. It answers why fossils are found over all the earth and why a young earth is a reasonable scientific view in light of the great flood. Scientists use a thing called carbon-14 dating. to assess the age of something. But this method assumes uniformity of conditions on the earth. But when we read the biblical record, we see that the flood upheaved everything. And after 378 days, Noah and his family disembarked. And behold, the promise in Genesis chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I'll make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Genesis chapter 9, verses 4 through 7. We have the institution of human government. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For the image of God he made man, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it. Here we have the institution of human government, to promote good and to punish and thereby restrain evil. The backbone of human government, according to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, is capital punishment, specifically for the crime of murder. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 says this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. This is the first of three verses that present the spiritual application of Genesis chapter 9, verses 4 through 7, that the life is in the blood. And it is the blood that is the basis for the new covenant, which Jesus established in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And again, the writer of Hebrews says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. Isn't it amazing that no matter how high man builds the tower, God still has to come down to see it? Verse 9, therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over all of the face of the earth. The Lord destroyed man's humanistic religion, and the Lord destroyed his stairway to heaven. This speaks of man's attempt to get to God, which in reality will never work. And so God came down to call us to him. And we read this in the book of John. John chapter 1, in verse 14, and the word became flesh. Going all the way back to the beginning, where we started our lesson here. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this book, though it is comprised of 66 books written by various authors, various men, as they were moved by God the Holy Spirit, this book is one book from Genesis to Revelation. And in the beginning was the Word, the agent of creation, the agent of salvation, the light in the life, the very Shekinah glory of God. And so let us pray with thanksgiving. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all of your truth. But we thank you here for the orderly account of creation. We affirm that which you have written over and above all of the wisdom of man. We reject humanistic religion and the religion of science and polytheism. And we thank God that you sent your Son as the way, the truth, and the life, through whose name, in his name only, one might receive salvation from sin through the blood of his cross and the hope of his resurrection. If there is anyone here this morning who has been stirred by the preaching, by the teaching, by the music, by the fellowship, to accept God's gracious offer of salvation, simply believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his person, his work, and his promises, as has been clearly set forth, and on the authority of God's word, he will make a place in heaven for you. Simply pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And let all of God's people pray for any of those who may have prayed this prayer. And Lord, we need your help. We need your heart. We need your salvation. We need your sanctification. We need your love. We need your wisdom. We need revival. And we pray all these things in the name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.